This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 1027 in Johannesburg and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town.
Well, we saw a decline in the number of new coronavirus cases in China and mounting expectations for even more policy stimulus boosting global equity markets today. Pushed the yen to nine-month lows as the alarm caused by Apple's revenue warning has faded somewhat. China posted the lowest daily rise in new coronavirus cases since the 29th of January, and it did mean that there was a hint of risk on back in the markets. Many view Chinese data on the virus, though, with some scepticism, but sentiment was lifted by a Bloomberg report that Beijing was considering cash injections or mergers to bail out airlines that have been hit by the virus. Pan-European equity index was up 0.6% to new record highs. We've opened quite positively over in the US, and we gained 0.5% on the Aussie today, while the Rand is hovering around that 15 to the dollar mark. Wayne McCurry, portfolio manager at F&B Wealth and Investments, has your view from the market. Wayne, gold and silver moderately up, and it is all about resources leading the way on the JSE today.
Yeah, and it's just gold, really. I mean, gold shares up 7-8%. I mean, the other resource counters are up, but it's really just gold. So it's gold and platinum. Amplat's up 6, Impala up 4, but Goldfields Harmony 9%. So it's strong rise, and the gold price itself isn't actually up all that much. The rand's more or less stable. So gold's it's through 1600, but I mean, that's not, you know, it's not a huge surge in the one day. But certainly the gold shares are going like crazy.
So why is that then? If we haven't seen a massive rise in the rand gold price, that usually is the big driver of these things, why aren't we seeing, I mean, Goldfields 9.9%, Harmony 9.2%, really big moves those?
I've got no idea whatsoever. I've given up trying to call gold and what gold is doing and how it's doing and what drives gold. And to my detriment, every now and again. I mean, every now and again, to my detriment, I've never owned a gold share, and I don't intend to own a gold share either. They're just too risky as investment vehicles.
Now, if you were holding shares in Sibanye-Stillwater about 12 months ago, you would have been very handsomely rewarded. I think it was around 10, 11 rand. It's now closer to the 50 than the 11 mark, and up 4.5% on a day when we saw those moves in Goldfields and Harmony. That does put it into context, perhaps not as stellar performance, but we must remember that it's Sibanye-Stillwater now, and it is also all about platinum group metals, so it's not just a gold counter. Overall, I think the big news was that Neil Froneman is saying wait for the second half before we resume the divvy.
Yeah, look, Neil, you can debate whether it was extreme skill or massive luck, but he bought these assets right at the bottom before the platinum and palladium price turned. So when he bought these assets, they were bankrupt assets. They were losing money hand over fist. So he got them at a good price, and the specifically the palladium and the rhodium bailed him out. The platinum's also up. I mean, make no mistake, he has made a tremendous success, but he was saved by the rising platinum, palladium and rhodium prices. If they hadn't have gone up, he would have struggled to keep his company afloat, because there's plenty debt there. There's none at the time to buy all those assets. So, you know, he got it right, and no one can take that away from him. But it was an extremely risky venture that he took there. I mean, you don't have to summarize it too much to say that he bet the farm on that.
Yeah, but it worked. It did work. The $2.2 billion US dollar takeover of Stillwater in 2017 was then followed by the takeover effectively of DRD Gold and the merger with Lonmin. That was an all-share transaction, but there was a lot of gearing involved.
And the Anglo-American Rustenburg Platinum.
Yeah. I was sat next to Davi Mostry at the Dealmakers dinner last night, and he is really in charge of post-M&A integration for Sibanye-Stillwater. And, you know, he's saying they're not addicted to deals. He's saying that right now it is probably a case of ensuring they get all of the integration and the synergies right. But he's very concerned about what's happening in South Africa, as is Neil Froneman, and he's made no bones about it. Until we start sorting the Eskom elephant out, it's very difficult to make a case for further investment.
Yeah, and look, he's not going to get these assets at the same prices after the way that the palladium and PGM and gold have run, eh? So those bargains are off the table. He bought the bargains. He's not going to do any other deal now because now these assets are no longer cheap. I mean, you can take halfway through 2018, Impala Platinum was 15 Rand, 20 Rand, and that's now 170. Yeah, so he got it at the right time, but there's no more of those deals left now. The prices have escalated enormously.
I think
everyone's making money now.
And I think shareholders will now be very keen to see some of their cash flowing back to them via dividends, as Neil Froneman said today.
You saw Amplat did the special dividend. You saw Kumba. Kumba paid out in the dividend in 6 months what their share price was 2 years ago.
But that's why you've got the Minister of Minerals and Energy, Gwede Mantashe, standing up in Parliament today to say, well, the mining companies are producing such incredible profits in this environment right now that the royalties could be used to set up a sovereign wealth fund. It's not going to be like this forever, though. What do you make of that?
It's cyclical. It happens every 6 years or so. Every 6 to 10 years, they just hit it and they make a fortune. But it doesn't always stay like that. But we as a country must be very happy because, I don't know, the gold mines, the platinum mines, etc., could easily be paying, now I'm totally guessing now, but they could easily be paying an extra 8 to 10 to 12 billion rand into the fiscus. And we clearly need it. So it's not going to go to a, it's not going to go to a sovereign fund yet. We need that money in the central pot at the moment.
Yeah, it does come at a very good time.
Donkeys years ago, after Sasol was sold by the government, remember when the oil price went up to 22 and Sasol was making a killing? There was a big talk that time. Trevor Manuel, yeah. Big talk that time about this extra tax, because of, you know, the excess profit tax on commodity companies. Yeah. Who knows whether that will
windfall,
survive itself.
Yeah, windfall profits.
These windfalls don't happen often, eh?
They don't, Wayne.
In the month.
But we've seen examples of this. We mustn't just say, this is the ANC. I mean, Chile has implemented something similar to great effect, but they've almost ring-fenced it to ensure that they smooth the cyclical nature and volatility of the mining industry. So you side-pocket some of those super profits during the good times to ensure that when the cyclical nature of things turn, you can then feed that back into the communities to help ease job losses and smooth things out over time.
Yes. Look, and make no mistake, you take platinum specifically, but iron ore as well. I mean, Kumba Iron Ore in 2015, 2016 was also almost bankrupt. In fact, Anglo American wanted to sell it. They didn't even regard it as a core asset. This is the nature of mining. You get the terrible years, and then you get these total cracker years where they make a fortune. Now, what they're mining belongs to the country. It belongs to you and I. It's in the ground under our feet. It belongs to us. So we are entitled to a share of profits. We're entitled to tax. We're entitled to royalties. But you can't change the way it's calculated in the good years and just say, oh, you're making excess profits, so pay us more. Because if these mining companies didn't have the good years, they wouldn't survive the bad years. Yeah. You know, so you must consistently apply your royalties, your taxes, and all of this. You can't change it in a good year, because then they're going to say, well, look, we paid you this extra in the good year. Now we're having a terrible year. We want it back.
And also, shareholders have been the ones who've not received much in the way of dividends over the last decade, and it's only now flowing in. They're the ones stumping up the risk capital while all the taxes and everything else and employment benefits to the workers and the other stakeholders.
We would be significantly worse off had we hadn't had this PGM and gold, but gold's very small in our lives now. If we hadn't had this PGM windfall as a country, we would have been significantly worse off than where we are now, because those mines are expanding. They are paying taxes. They're not, you know, they're properly contributing to the fiscus this year.
Now, Dis-Chem released a trading update for the 22 weeks to the beginning of February this year. And for a stock that trades on a very demanding PE multiple, I think around 30, underwhelming at best.
Look, I didn't think it was too bad, to be honest. It certainly wasn't overwhelming. You know, it didn't shock you, but they seem to have real like-for-like store sales. So their turnover was up 7 or 8%, but they've opened a lot of stores, so that the like-for-like turnover growth was 2%, and they've got internal inflation of 1%. So I mean, it certainly didn't shoot the lights out, but I didn't think it was a bad trading update. But I mean, as we all know, this company's come under quite a bit of pressure in the recent past. I mean, they had the one very bad set of results, and they had the strike, and they had this problem with vendor rebates and how they calculated it. So, you know, this used to be, since listing, this was just going up. But, you know, certainly in the last 2 years, it's more or less been going down. So it's the peak of almost 40 Rand, and now it's 23 Rand, 24 Rand. But once the share price settles, this is still fundamentally a very good company. Now, where the share price settles, I don't know, maybe it's 18 Rand, maybe it's 20 Rand, maybe it's an 18 PE or a 20 PE.
Yeah, then
still, I would just sit back and wait.
Then I'm interested, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I think
it's a good company.
Yeah, but I think at 30, then you're comparing it to the likes of Clicks, and
exactly.
I just think Clicks has got the more compelling track record in that particular category. Wayne McCurry, yes. Portfolio Manager at FNB Wealth and Investments, with your view from the market.